everybody. Welcome to We Talk Comics. No, it could be called The Healthy Cast, but it won't be. I'm the new kindler, gentler Mo.
Again?
Blessed be, everybody. Blessed be. Yeah, I'm trying again.
It was an epic fail the first time. You didn't even last the first the episode.
He's relaunching.
Exactly. It's volume two. The gentler, kinder Mo. I want so badly to be a gentler, kinder person.
Can we do one that is the kinder, gentler Mo rather than Mo the pervert? Because you're giving me serious creeps, man.
Oh, I should stop rubbing these, should I? Anyways.
Yeah.
On camera.
Audio podcast, Mo. Audio
podcast. Audio podcast. Well, anyways, blessed be, Brett. How are you?
Well, I'm worse now, but thank you.
Because you saw me rubbing these? Is that why?
that's a healthy reason why, yes.
Listeners at home do not want to know what these are.
Yes. Please draw your own conclusions. Please.
Chris, and blessed be
Save
to you.
Save it for episode 69.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a pervert. Anyways, Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Significantly worse than 5 minutes ago, though.
And Keith, double blessed be, my friend. Double blessed be.
Well, right back at you.
Ditto. All right, this is We Talk Comics. This one is called the We Talk Comics Pull Lists. Because this week, it's going to be real simple. We're going to tell you actually what we have been reading regularly. I think there's going to be some things out there that not only the listeners, but even within our own group that we don't know that we're listening to, or the other guys have been reading. So we're going to talk about our own books, our own monthly pull lists, and kind of go through those a little bit. So, all right, let's do that. But first off, what the hell? Let's do something that's sponsored. Since we have the very best comic book website on the planet, Comicosity, as our sponsor for the news, what do you say we do the news? I mean, Comicosity is a great site, got everything you need, got tons of material, updates, and great people writing for it, including Brett Keith ourselves. You got the news and previews and reviews and all the stuff you want, some great featured article, and it's expanding like you wouldn't believe. So if you thought it was good this week, it's actually better next week, and I promise you it's going to be better the week after that. That's how damn good Comicosity is. So proud to have them as our sponsors. And now we're going to move on to the weekly news with Reporter K.
Hey, that's me.
That is.
And it's the news. And let's kick right off with, we've got another new DC title that's joining the ones we've heard about so far, Movement, and the other ones we've talked about. We're getting a Superman-Batman title, which is being written by Greg Pak with art by Jay Lee.
This is Pak's first work for DC, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, he's been writing... he wrote the one of the season one graphic novels. He's been writing various books at Marvel, but I think this is his first DC work.
Yeah, I mean, he's had quite a bit of success with being at Marvel for quite a while now. So I guess he's no longer exclusive with them. He's likely exclusive with DC, though, isn't he? Isn't that what they do nowadays, is only exclusive contracts?
DC kind of switches back and forth, because right now a couple of their big-name people aren't on exclusives. A lot of people want to do some creator-owned on the side, so...
Well, I mean, but between Marvel and DC, you're not writing for both. Not that there really ever was a time you would write for both, but it has happened occasionally.
Yeah, it's pretty unusual.
Historically, yeah. Interesting. Hack. All right.
Joe Straczynski's Joe's Comics line, which was announced at San Diego that they would be reviving this line, will be at Image Comics. This will start in May with 10 Grand is the name of the first book that will be coming under Joe's Comics.
Well, I'm supposing that will be a future Wii View.
This is
Joe has worked. He's had exclusively. Was it Joe's Comics before Image, through Image before?
So DC. Wildstorm imprint. Wildstorm, I believe. Yeah, Wildstorm/DC.
I thought Mid Rising Stars and such was through
Wildstorm.
Image. Was it Wildstorm?
I'm not sure at what point it was, whether Wildstorm was at DC at that point or whether it was during the shift. I do not recall that part. This will be art by Ben Templesmith. DC has dropped the WTF certified logo after after complaint. They've decided that that the WTF certified that was carried on the solicits, their official statement was, it did what it had to do, people know that it's going to be a big deal, but the WTF will not be stamped on the comics themselves.
So what was the complaints besides Chris's?
Aside from the obvious that everyone knows what WTF means, and probably not a great idea to put on the front cover door. That's right. What the fudge is what that means, and DC's anti-fudge.
Everyone knows bastards.
Right, we have casting for Norman Osborn in the Amazing Spider-Man sequel. Chris Cooper, a favorite of mine, will be playing Norman Osborn.
I feel like I should know him, but drawing a blank.
You totally would if you saw him.
American Beauty, October Sky. Those are my two favorite Chris Cooper movies. He was in the first Bourne movie that he's in.
Yeah, okay, it is. It's yeah, he was in Seabiscuit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought so. Oh, that's an interesting choice.
And
10 years too late, maybe. No, seriously, I think 10 years ago he would have been a perfect choice. Now he might be too old for that role.
Well, hopefully this Norman Osborn won't be sleeping with Wednesdays. And DC artist Scott Clark has passed away. Scott Clark was only 43. He had been working on Deathstroke as well as doing covers on Grifter. And previous work for DC included Brightest Day, Adventure Comics, and the Flashpoint Wonder Woman, as well as Batman Inc. Sad passing.
Rest in peace.
And now let's do the biggest news story of the week. And there may be some comments leading out of this. So I don't think there's possibly a way to spoil this at this point for anyone. So Damian Wayne's dead.
And, he's dead already?
Or he's I've die? Ruined it for Chris. I've wrecked it for Chris.
Actually, I didn't know either. So
yeah, I didn't know either, but I didn't care. It's a dream come true, really. No, I'm the kind of the gentler, Mo.
I predicted this.
But isn't this guy gonna just gonna end up in one of those Lazarus pits or whatever there? And I mean,
it seems a little obvious in that case.
Ra's al Ghul's freaking. I mean, we have never had a former Robin come out of those yet. Well, that hasn't happened. Oh wait.
Damn! Just a few years too late for.
What do you got to say there, Chris?
Nothing. I called it. And it's comic books. Of course he's going to be resurrected next month. It's not a surprise.
It's interesting. Because he's actually a character that, as much as I loathed him at the beginning, over my last little bit of attempting reading Batman, he's actually the one character that I've started to enjoy.
But yeah, it would be nice to have Batman and Robin not feature him entirely. Nice to get some Batman in that book.
But
yeah,
the biggest
there's four other Batman books. I do not care if Batman doesn't appear in Batman and Robin.
Why don't they just call it other Robin or Batman and Solomon?
I think it should have just been called Robin or Robins. But yeah, what frustrates me about this? I mean, I had expected for a bit that this was coming. I'd actually gotten a tip a few months ago that this was it was actually a tip that this was going to be the ending of Death of the Family, but I guess timing wise only a couple weeks difference. And it's frustrating because I never liked this character either. Like Brett said, it's not a character I ever liked until Pete Tomasi writing him on Batman and Robin. So to have Damian Wayne die in Batman Inc., the lowest selling Batman book, the book that people have even wondered is even part of the New 52 because it doesn't fit with anything else, And now we're going to have to go through how long? 4, 6, 12 months of whiny, whingy Batman moping around in the other four books?
You know what? Jason Todd died, even when Tim Drake was his new Robin, he never stopped moping over the fact that he felt responsible and guilty over Todd dying. So Damian could come back, he'll probably still be the you know, little batty bitch pants over this.
The question that I have to ask, though, is I don't care about the rest of those Batman books. How does this impact Batman Little Gotham?
That is a vital question.
Because
gosh that darn book, is that a great book.
That book is great. So you see, if it's going to impact a great book, like the other Batman books, it can go ahead and impact those all it wants to. I don't have to read those.
But I Batman Little just Gotham, retreated into my body. Thank you very much. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, that new Little Gotham just came out last weekend, and as I'm reading it, you know, having already gotten the spoiler, I'm reading this and going, wait, so Grant Morrison's screwing this thing up too? Like, I mean, it's bad enough that he's going to screw up everything Pete Tomasi's been doing. And, you know, once again, Grant Morrison does not play well with others, screwing up everyone else's story in favor of his own.
How could it possibly affect Little Gotham? I mean, isn't that its own not real continuity?
Yeah, but they wouldn't put in a Batgirl that had red hair. They're not going to put in Damian Wayne if Damian Wayne's dead. So
was he in Little Gotham? I don't even remember.
He's the feature of Little Gotham. Yeah, it's really just a Damian Wayne book.
So I say to Grant Morrison, you, sir, are dead to me.
Okay, well, Morrison obviously has been planning this since he introduced him, probably. But how'd he kill? Well, how'd he die? Tell me it was Joker and a baseball bat. Tell me.
No, it was a piece of crap. I got to be honest. I've read positive reviews, and maybe I've tried Batman Inc. three times in 8 issues and not liked a single page of this book. I just think it's a muddled mess that belonged, you know, a year and a half ago before Flashpoint. There's like a clone that's sort of like Damian. It's kind of his brother-ish. He's in an armor. He stabs him. It's awful. The art is not great. There is no giant sense of sacrifice. The story pays off.
Sorry, who stabs him?
Nothing. I don't even remember the name of the character, to be honest. It's like Damien's cloned brother, who also
Damien's
dies.
Damien's cloned brother stabs
who also
him.
Dies.
Who also dies. But what about
so we his? Got clones and Lazarus. This death is sticking long time.
We got four more Morrison. Issues. There's four more Grant Morrison issues, so he can bring him back, kill him in number 11, and then bring him back in 12.
The Captain Marvel effect.
Well, suffice to say that I'm sure we're not done talking about Batman for today.
No, I'm sure we're not done talking about Batman for today, and in fact, it's probably going to be, I don't know, we may have to weave you some Batman coming up out of this, unfortunately. Who knows? Maybe not. Who knows?
I'll do a quick wrap-up here.
But I'm the gentler kind of Mo, so blessed be, Damien, and you too, Grant Morrison, you lovely, lovely, lovely bald man, you.
So
he's bald, right?
He is bald.
Yeah, I thought so.
So I'm going to wrap this up that Batman and Robin, we'll do a silent issue for number 18, which is next month. Then it will rebrand as a Batman and Red Robin. Batman and Red Robin for an issue, Batman and Red Hood for an issue. So they're going to cycle through the other Robins.
A silent issue.
Oh, that sounds just terrible, I got to tell you.
Well, it's Pete Tomasi. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing.
Actually, I'm in for the silent issue. It's going to be the funeral. You know it.
Yeah, I don't care. I hate silent issues. Hate them. Unless they're Sergio Aragonés drawing me some funny stuff, I hate silent issues.
And that's the news.
That last part was news. People more likes Sergio Aragonés making him laugh with silent issues. Well, we got a poll list. Everybody here reads books monthly. So let's go through and talk a little bit about them. I think it's going to be too dry to have one person give up every one of their books at once. I think it's going to be too hard for us to go through and each say one book. So why don't we just kind of, why don't people go through and kind of group them together and start with Brett and maybe group a few together that you read kind of as a, because you read one, you read the other.
We'll do it by company or by grouping of family or?
Probably grouping of family, don't you think? I don't know. What do you think, Brett?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'll start out then with something, and I know that Keith and I can talk about this one, because
it's rare. Maybe it's something on your list too, Keith.
I just finished reading the Batman Death of the Family. Now I wanted to collect Batman Death and the Family because so much, you know, the Joker interests me, and so much gets said about. You know, you talk about Tomasi's Batman and Robin. So much gets said about Snyder's Batman, and so I really wanted to go through these books, and I was really kind of excited to read this. And as I was reading, especially through the crossovers, which were dreadful best.
I wish you would ask me about this in advance. Go ahead, go on.
And anyways. By the time I finally slugged through Death of the Family, basically what I realized is that I have no interest in collecting a Batman book, period. Death of the Family has completely killed my interest in Batman whatsoever. I found absolutely nothing special about Scott Snyder's Batman. I thought it was thoroughly overrated. There was nothing there. The end story was possibly the most ridiculous wrap-up to a story in years, given the simple fact that squat all happens. You're forced to buy 25-odd books to accomplish a grand total of nothing. And
Now I will stop you. You weren't forced to buy any books.
No,
and
okay.
You did not have to read a single tie-in to follow the main story.
No, and that's perfectly
which is what I would have told you not to do if you had asked me about reading the book.
But it pains me because the thing is that as a general rule, I like crossovers because I like the concept that they are going to introduce me to new books. Whether I like those new books, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. The problem is in this case, I didn't like any of the books, period. And that's what really got me at the end, was not only did nothing happen, I didn't like anything. So I found it to be just a really painful experience overall. And that by itself just really has soured me on Batman. That's why I didn't read the Batman Inc. because I don't want to read it anyways. But it was just one of those cases that now I'm like, oh, I can't read Batman.
I believe it's your rebuttal.
And I've already misunderstood the point of the episode.
Well, no, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, so Brett doesn't tell us what's on his pull list. Brett instead gives a review to a storyline that...
No, I told you what was on my pull list. Everything in Death of the Family.
And if you had asked me at any point about how to read that book, I would have said to not read basically any of the tie-ins.
I mostly skimmed the tie-ins.
The only two that I read regularly are Batman and Batman and Robin. I've tried here and there on the other ones. I wouldn't list any of them as a regular book for me because I have tried them kind of squattily. You know, usually when a new writer comes on, Batman and Robin is my favorite out of them.
With DC, that's monthly, isn't it?
On Dark Knight and Detective, it is almost monthly. Yeah. There's been a lot of cycle there. They haven't really. I think they're on the third writer for Dark Knight, possibly the fourth. I wasn't as big on the ending of Death of the Family as some were, but I liked and actually this is apropos for what we were just talking about with Batman Inc. I liked that they got to the end of Death of the Family and no one died. That they paid off that story, and I felt like they brought that story to a conclusion without Alfred dying, without Damian dying. Batman and Robin has been consistently one of my favorite books every month. I think that was doing the same thing you were doing, Brett. When I started the first month, I read like basically every tie-in, and then I just stopped and waited until the whole thing was over, asked around on which ones I should buy, because I read digitally, so I can pick and choose later, and just buy as I go. And people said just either skip the tie-ins or read them all separately at the end. Just the three Batgirl issues, the three Redhead issues.
It's like Avengers Disassembled. People ask me what to read. I'll say, just Avengers Disassembled. Don't skip everything else.
Oh, I got an omnibus of all the Avengers Disassemble tie-ins. Boy, did I pay a lot of money for nothing.
It sucks. Yeah. I just have a question. Hasn't Death in a Family been used as a comic book title for storylines a billion times?
Well, Death in the Family was the death of Jason Todd. This is Death of the Family.
Oh, Death of the Family.
So it was intentionally used. It was intentionally tying to the events of Death in the Family.
Oh, without actually having a death. Did it tie to the death of Jason Todd? Did he actually die or mention it or something? Was that
in Death in the Family? Yeah.
In this latest one. I mean. No,
as I just said seconds ago, no one died in Death.
No, I know that no one died. Did it talk about his death? Is that what it's about?
Yes.
Yeah, thematically, it is about that. As in the old days when Joker went after Robin, he's going after the entire family in that storyline. So Batman family, I get Batman and Robin, Red Hood, Nightwing's kind of on the bubble for me right now. I'm concerned after the events of Batman Inc. If I'm going to get mopey Batman, I'm out. I think I'll probably drop all of them if it's going to be mopey Batman for a year.
Chris, are you reading this, or did you read? Are you waiting for trades? I know it's something you would read.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting for trades on it. I do have two books on my pull list that are Batman centric. I'm enjoying the hell out of Talent, which is not Scott Snyder. And the reason I'm getting that book is it's Batman without all the Batman baggage. And I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And I haven't actually picked this book up yet, but I was going to ask you guys tonight, since we're talking about it, Nightwing. I listened to an interview with the writer, and he seems like a really, really Batman-focused guy. Seems like the guy we should have there. He is a love of Nightwing.
What's his name?
Kyle Higgins. And Chris, if you haven't read it, Gates of Gotham from a couple of years ago, it's Scott Snyder and Kyle Higgins. And it's a lot of what's going on in Batman and some of the stuff in Nightwing is really coming out of Batman series that was just before the New 52.
Yeah, as I said, I like Scott Snyder. I just can't abide what the whole Batman universe is right now. I just have trouble buying it. So I'm not on any of those titles, but I try to keep titles attached.
It's a bit of event-itis right now. I mean, they've had, four or five tie-in issues out of 16, 17? That's pretty heavy. I mean, it's not as heavy as Green Lantern, but it's heavy.
Yeah, and when you're tying into Suicide Squad, I mean,
boost sales. That's about it.
Brett, did you have any other DC-related books?
I do have some other DC-related books that I collect.
What are those?
Well, I collect and read Sword of Sorcery, although I haven't been reading it very well. I've just kind of been earmarking it for later, and now that it's closing out, I don't know if I'll actually... If I get an ending, then I'll finish it. So not much to say there. I caught up, almost caught up in my Green Lantern reading. And I will say, like, for myself...
What's that? There's a billion Green Lantern books.
There's the four. There's Red Lantern, Lanterns, Green Lantern New Guardians, and the Green Lantern Corps. And so, because all of them have been tying together to form the Rise of the Third Army and now the Wrath of the First Lantern, so I'm still getting them.
So you didn't go back, though? Did you read the Green Lanterns?
No.
You didn't read leading into that, like, you haven't read, like, all 17 issues or whatever
no,
of them.
No, I just started with Rise of the Third Army and carried on. The one thing, like, there's two elements to those books. Some of them are better than others. One thing is that if the crossover stop, then I am now sad that Geoff Johns is leaving Green Lantern, because I really like the Simon Baz Green Lantern, and I really like what he's done with the character. I will carry on with that book no matter what. Like, if Venditti's going to write it, and he's going to write it well with Simon Baz, I'm totally in, and I will carry on. The unfortunate element to me is that with all the crossovers, and I think it's kind of annoying, like, the Rise of the Third Army, it's one of those cases where, hey, we got the Rise of the Third Army, but, oh, by the way, it's not really the end of the story. You have to carry on and keep reading all of the books in, you know, Wrath of the First Lantern. And who knows if it'll end there.
I love that the book that says conclusion on the cover ends with to be continued.
Yeah, I know.
This has been, since Johns has been on Green Lantern, this has been a Green Lantern staple. Wow. You know? That nothing really ends. It just wraps up. It pulls it to the next thing.
And it's brutal, because when you look at the listing of, like, okay, it's the four core book. It's the four books. 13 through 16 is the crossover. Oh, and then I'm reading 13 through 16. I get through 16, and it's just like, to read the conclusion, check out the annual.
For you, this is catching you off guard.
Yeah. Yes.
But for people who've been reading Green Lantern, they knew that was coming. And the first time that happened to me reading Green Lantern years ago, I had the same reaction, though.
Yes, it's kind of weird, but I will say that his work on Green Lantern is very good. And Tomasi's on...
So you like that Rise of the... what was it? Rise of the...
Third Army. I like this...
I really like that as well, yeah.
Yeah, it is a really good storyline. There's a lot of interesting stuff there, so...
I would say you can skip New Guardians, though.
Nothing important
happens in that book. And
no.
I get the other three, and I do just fine.
I think that is pretty fair. Pretty fair. Kyle Rayner doesn't add that much to it.
How about you, Chris? What else you got this DC? Anything?
Yeah, I do have three titles here. Well, we got Dial H, which I just collect for the sheer weirdness of it. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying the heck out of it, although it's ending real quick. I got Earth 2, which, I mean, is there anything James Robinson can't do? I enjoy it. It's just a fun book. And, of course, I'm getting Phantom Stranger, and I'm just collecting it for the character. I've always loved the character. I want it to go somewhere. Hasn't yet, but fingers crossed.
Yeah. How about you, Keith? What else you got that's DC related?
Right down here, I forgot I am getting Phantom Stranger. Most of the rest of DC for me is the Justice League kind of core. I am getting Phantom Stranger and All-Star Western on the edge. And Earth 2. But I am getting right now Justice League of America. I think I'm going to stay with Vibe, I'm not sure, Aquaman, and Green Arrow. So a lot more Geoff Johns in my pile than I would have expected a year and a half.
You really realized. So you're reading all the Justice League stuff. Are you reading it because it's really good, or just because you're curious as to where it's going?
Since the change of artist for when Ivan Reyes took over Justice League, there's been a significant improvement. And the Throne of Atlantis story I really enjoyed, which was a crossover that just kept going, and then the conclusions that do be continued.
Wow!
But Throne of Atlantis I enjoyed. It was only the two books, Justice League and Aquaman, and that was the storyline that led into what they're doing with Justice League of America. So I've been enjoying how those tie together. Because those are also the core of where DC is going to be going in the next year, leading into Trinity War. I am curious to keep up to date on any little hints that come along. But just like, yeah, I think there's been a significant improvement over the past few issues.
Oh, Reyes was one of my two runners-up for Artist of the Year in the We Talkie Awards. I think he's awesome. I'm only getting the two books from DC, only one that you consider in the 52 universe. I've added Green Arrow to my pull list. I really want to find some DCs I can collect, and I think that's one of the reasons why I'm going to get it, Green Arrow, because I thought it was just good enough to come back to, and I have confidence that Snyder will tell a good storyline with it, and I want to read some DC, and it was one that I could jump onto, and I didn't feel confused. It felt like a good jump on point. I can't find a lot of DC. Like I say, I'm looking for more, but every time I think that I can find something, it's just not either not quite good enough or interesting enough or too confusing or whatever. The only other thing that I'm reading from DC isn't technically in DC. That would be one of their digital books, Injustice, which is just awesome. I know it's just a comic book, a weekly comic book, it's digital. It's cheap, but it's not very long. But it's all, and it's done for a video game that's being coming up, a fighting game coming up in the DC universe for the Xbox and PlayStation 3 and these things. And so you wouldn't think much of it. And the creators, I think the guys writing this had something to do with the creation of Marvel or Mortal Kombat or something, I think, too. But either way, it's so good. I really can't tell you. And it's good for me because it starts where DC was before 52. So it's like Lois and Clark are married, you know, and they're about to have a kid. Yeah. And then they're about to have a kid, and the Joker decides he's bored of screwing with Batman, so we'll screw with the Superman. And he ends up killing Lois. And now Superman loses it and kills the Joker and decides that he's going to take over the world and make a police state. And nobody can stop him because he's freaking Superman. So it's just this really... it starts there, and then I'm already comfortable. And then it builds on that continuity. But it's just really good character stuff. There's an issue. The whole issue, the whole thing, like, what is it, 16 pages or whatever. It's Harley Quinn decides she's going to kill Superman or go after Superman. And Green Arrow knows that Superman will kill her because she has no powers. So he kidnaps her for her own safety. And it's just like them in a basement for like 12 pages talking. And it's just really good characterization. It's awesome. I can't tell you how good this book is. So that's it for me. I'm Green Arrow. I'm doing that one on Leap of Faith. I got Injustice going. Can't recommend it highly enough. How about digital books from DC? Anything for you guys? I mean, obviously you said Little Gotham.
Yeah, for me, Little Gotham, Legends of Dark Knight, and Arrow. I'm up to three now. Little Gotham is kind of, it's not quite monthly. If there were no January issues, there'll be two February issues, there were two December issues, so it probably averages out.
Yeah, it's an average.
No, and I've always said that Legends of the Dark Knight is one of my favorites, and of course Little Gotham, which to me sort of folds in, but...
Yeah, I love Little Gotham. I keep forgetting about Legends of the Dark Knight.
Every Thursday.
Awesome. Thursday.
Hey, and New Injustice came out today. I'm so damn excited. Of course, you guys will get this a couple days later after Brett edits everything together. But for me, it came out today because we're recording this on Wednesday, February 27th. Keith, so what else? Give us another, grouping of stuff that you're kind of collecting.
Well, let's talk Valiant. I'm curious. We've reviewed all the Valiant books, the number ones. It was Moe's... Comic Company of the Year when we did the Wee Talkies.
Kind of a tie, yeah, along with
kind
Image.
Of a tie with him. Yeah. So I am curious what everyone's stuck with. I have stuck with Bloodshot and Archer and Armstrong. That's what kept me.
And I read all of them. I think Shadow Man now might be taking over as the best one now. I mean, if you're expecting the Shadow Man, obviously that was the jazz musician character, I mean, it's nothing like that, but it is really good characterizations and interesting stuff, nice art and really cool villains. And hey, cool villains never hurts. I like the Bloodshot too. I think the Bloodshot's setting up for this crossover event with Harbinger, and they've obviously been building this as the company's launch, and these ideas with the Psyots and where they're going with that, so that's really, really cool. And then Exo has a big storyline coming, and I think there's going to be a crossover too that's really, really good. They're all quality books. Not a single one of them isn't. Archer and Armstrong is kind of its own thing, but that's where I love it, because that's where Geomancer showed up and Eternal Warrior and stuff like that. And I love those characters too. And it's just, for me, it makes me laugh. Plus, it gives me the adventure and action. I love all the... Bloodshot, to me, has just about the best covers monthly. I'm a big fan of this Valiant company. I mean, I'm a big fan of what they're doing, Keith. What do you think of those guys, those Archer and Armstrong and Bloodshot?
I think you mean someone besides me.
No, because you didn't told me what you thought of them. You said you stuck with them, but you never said what you thought of them.
Well, I love that Bloodshot is a, you know, it's a great action book. It's it's an exciting, you know, adventure story. I like some of the little bits they're playing with the the kid that can destroy the world. Archer and Armstrong is just so fun. Like, it is just,
yeah, it's just a fun,
crazy fun book. I think that's the one that most captured the core of the original book. I loved those first few issues of the original Archer and Armstrong and Perry Windsor Smith did. Mm-hmm. And I think that this book is able to be a completely fresh storyline, and if that was the only element that they kept, was, you know, the Armstrong's crazy family and the fun. I mean, that was all
kind of the interplay between the characters is the same.
The dynamic between those chemistry, two characters is great.
Yeah, the chemistry is the same as what it was, but the storyline is fresh and different. The backgrounds are altered, but it's fresh. Whereas Bloodshot, everybody else is, like I say, it's very different. I mean, but Harbinger is probably seeming very much like the most important book, and EXO is probably still. Kerry Nord's coming back on EXO, and so I'm looking forward to that. So I definitely like that. So I do like Kerry Nord's art quite a bit, and I guess he's relocated to Toronto from here in Calgary. So I think once his life gets settled, he's going to be back in. But
curses.
So that's good stuff. Anybody else there, Brett or Chris? You're reading any Valiant at all?
No, I'm not. I meant to read Archer and Armstrong after issue one. I missed issue two and just never came back. I guess at this point I'd be trade waiting on it.
You know, Shadow Man's only 4 issues in, so it's good to jump on because it's really good.
Really didn't like the first issue.
It really gets good. The big event is now we've had a 2-part series on EXO that's setting up for the big EXO basically going out to fight the Vine in space. That's the next big storyline coming up, so that's a good jump on point. The 2 issues before that are kind of setups for this. And so that starts in number 11 next month. And like I say, there's the Harbinger Bloodshot crossover that's coming up that also I think is a good jump on point there to kind of the War of the Psyots, and there's a lot of chess pieces that have been put in place for that one, so it should be a nice, interesting, complex storyline. So if you're looking for some jump on points for Valiant, you or any of the listeners, I definitely recommend those.
Yeah, I read nothing from Valiant. I didn't like any of the first issues particularly, so I didn't...
I don't think they've ever published a bad issue.
I will check into Shadow Man now, though. Now that you mentioned that,
it gets really quite good. It's. I wish it was a little more original. Just having somebody whose father was a superhero, so you're become one too. It's not the most original thing, but it's like I say, it's well drawn, it's well written, it's of high quality that way. Chris, what you got?
That's okay. I should have probably thrown this in with DC, but I have started with and continued on with all the Before Watchmen's. Mm-hmm. I can't say enough. There isn't a weak title in the bunch. Every month, issue comes out, and it's in my top 5 reads of the month, every month, and it's always different. I can't believe they've sustained... I can't believe that, considering the hype around this project's paid off. My particular favorites are the one shot that just came out with the dollar bill. Great issue. I hope they continue. I hope this becomes a whole universe for DC.
I've fallen behind on Before Watchmen, except for Rorschach. I enjoyed all of them, but knowing that there was going to be, you know, once they announced the deluxe edition hardcovers, no one's really talking about the stories as much as they did when the first issues came out. I haven't gotten a lot of heavy spoilers. It's now, like, you know, it's not even that long before they're out. I think they're out in July. So I'll be, yeah, I'm they're on my trade wait list, but I'm really looking forward to them. Rorschach, because my wife is reading it, the only comic I've ever gotten my wife to read regularly, That one is a buy on the spot, but the rest I'm trade waiting on.
I'm completely trade waiting on it, so I haven't read anything since the first issue of the original batch. It's like I'm just not even going to bother right now.
But it is something you're interested in reading.
I will absolutely read it.
I'm the only one who's got no interest in reading them. So that's it. That's cool. That's cool. That's all right. And all right.
How often do we get a line though with no weak titles?
Valiant.
So far, 2 out of 3. I mean, that's
Brett.
That's me.
That is you. I'm sure you got something else on there. What else do you want to talk about? You want to do? Let's do some indies, Brett. What do you got for indies or smaller press ones then?
All right. Well, you know, I mean, I'll just quickly mention Peter Panzerfaust and Saga as books that I consider myself collecting. Even Bedlam, that I do get Bedlam on a regular basis, but I don't read it per se on a regular basis. It's more of those are all more of trade waiting books for me, but I still get them. One book that I've been reading is Clone. Actually, I carried on with Clone from Image, and I'm through 4 issues now. And I think ultimately it's one of those cases where if something doesn't happen in the next couple of issues, and I don't start to see like a story arc that could potentially wrap up, then I'm not likely to carry on with it because it's just not doing enough for me right now. Masks, I'm going to finish out the 8-issue miniseries before I read that one. Otherwise, Witch Doctor would be the same thing. I really enjoyed that Malpractice, and so I'm going to wait that one out and read that one. Actually, I'm also reading Deathmatch, the Paul Jenkins book. That one just I think number 3 or 4 just came out today. So I'm actually kind of enjoying it. It's an interesting.
Who publishes Deathmatch again?
Who is it that publishes Deathmatch?
Is it IDW or Boom or Dynamite? It's one of those guys, isn't it? I just know that it was one that I was really interested in. That I can't recall. Did we review it for the show?
I feel like that was one of the.
I think we were planning to, and for some reason, one of us couldn't find it or pick it up or something like that, and therefore we never ended up reviewing it. And something like that. I know it was one I was really, really interested in, so I'm glad to hear. Tell me a little bit about it, because it was one I thought, what a cool concept. It's basically like take all the existing superheroes, but without the continuity, throw them together, and if they fight death matches, who would win, isn't it?
It's Boom Studios, and yeah, basically what it is that every single hero from a universe has been transported onto the death planet, kind of thing, and then whether they're good guys or whether they're bad guys, they are forced to fight, and there is somebody ultimately controlling their mind, so they do have to fight, and so people that wouldn't usually kill are actually killing, and they're killing other good guys and stuff like that, and so it's not just about like, you know, ooh, two guys fighting, it's also the oh my, I'm a good guy. I've never killed anybody before in my life.
But it's also familiar archetypes, right, that are doing this, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I do find it interesting.
No, I think that always sounded to me like a really good, fun action book with some potential. And Jake is writing it. I mean, he could be hit or miss, but when he hits, it's usually awesome. I'm really glad you're reading that. I didn't know that. That was when I was interested in it. And since you like it, now I know that I'd be right to pick it up when I get a chance. Other than that, I'm also reading Bedlam, and I am not trade waiting. I cannot wait every time Bedlam comes out. A lot of my books I'm getting digitally. Bedlam I'm getting hard copies. I don't know. I love Bedlam. I think it's just so damn interesting. It's not quite as shocking as it was that first issue, and it's just really, really good character stuff. I think it's awesome. Of course, Peter Panzerfaust goes without saying. I can't wait for that every month too. It's Peter Panzerfaust is everything that's good about comics in the year 2013. It's one of the very, very best things that you could possibly imagine. So those two are also on my list, Brett, of the smaller ones.
I forgot Star Wars, too, actually.
Yeah, well, I was going to mention Mind Management, because I know that's
one. Oh, that's right, yes. It's funny, I completely forget that, because it's not on my tablet. It's because I do buy it physically, so,
yeah,
so exactly. I actually forget
it
easily.
I get that one digitally. I get, but you say, I mean, there's so much extra content packed into every single corner, and I'm not lying. When I say every corner, every little place that he could put something for that storyline, interesting, every little corner, every little side page, back page, inside cover, outside cover, everywhere, story-related little tidbits through the thing. So I'm getting this, and I'm getting it digitally, and I know you're getting the hardcovers, and you're saying there's different content on those, and then there's going to be different content in the trades, and it's worth it. So I get that because of you, and I really love it, and definitely a great recommendation. Yeah, and like you say, Star Wars, I mean, it's only a couple issues in, but it's awesome. I mean, Woods just, you could tell he loves these characters. And his love of these characters gives me a love of these characters. I mean, he loves Princess Leia. I could tell he loves Princess Leia. I think he loves Princess Leia the most of all of them. I appreciate that. It's great stuff. It's the Star Wars I want to read.
Yeah, and the Massive. I forget about the Massive, too, because I trade weight on that as well.
How about you guys? Bedlam, Peter Panzerfaust, Mind Management, or anything else, Star Wars, or anything else you guys read that's kind of independent? Why don't you go first there, Keith?
I do get all of those besides Mind Management. I should give that another try. Massive, I've been trade waiting on. Masks as well. I am sticking with. I was disappointed that it was only Alex Ross art on the first issue. I hadn't realized that was
really?
Going to be the one. Yeah, I was quite disappointed by that. Yeah, I was quite disappointed by that. Bedlam and Panzerfaust are, of course, like read as soon as I get them. I'm also picking up Hell Yeah, I really like. Danger Club, I really, really like. And Great Pacific. It's an interesting story. It's not at all going where I thought it was going to go.
Which one was that again? Great Pacific?
Great Pacific. It is the... I don't remember if we reviewed number one. It is...
I don't think so.
It's an Image book, and it is about... it's about a rich kid who gets the idea that there's an area of the Pacific known as the Great Pacific Gyre, I think is the name of it. What it is, there's a flow of currents that cause all of the flotsam and jetsam in the Pacific to gather in one spot. So in the real world, it's just really a giant collection of plastic bags and garbage. In the comic Great Pacific, it has gathered together enough that there's a substance, and it is essentially an island that has no bottom to it, that it's just a floating island. And this guy gets the idea he's going to go there and make it a country.
Hmm.
I really like it. It's funky. It's not at all going where I thought it was going to go. Number four or five's out, just came out. Five, I think, is the newest issue. The other small press one that I get is Boom Studios' Planet of the Apes comics. I am a big Planet of the Apes fan, and these are probably the only comics I've ever read of Planet of the Apes that I think really have something unique to say. Gabriel Hardman writes a lot of these, and they are really solid. They're all storylines that take place outside the continent. They fit with the continuity of the films, but most of the stories are about a generation before the events of Planet of the Apes. I really like them. They just have fun with them. And, of course, it goes with the same for all of us that we get everything the comics try puts out.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I've been interested in the POTA stuff for a while, no question about it. I know that you've been reading them, and so it's one of those where I've always been kind of afraid to jump into the Apes mix, but
not too much for Boom Studios actually. There might be 30 odd of them now. It's not very much though.
Yeah,
and I get a lot more Image, but pretty much Image is very heavily trade weighted. You know, in the case of the ones I mentioned, they're ones I can't wait to read them, like Panzerfaust and Danger Club and Bedlam. I have to read them as soon as they're available. So there's a lot of the other books that are piling up for me or trade waiting. Christopher, what are you reading in these?
Excuse my cough there. Very sorry.
Yes, I'm on most of the books we've mentioned. I'm a big fan of Danger Club. one of the most surprising books I've read this year. Definitely have to get the physical issue. I'm surprised no one's mentioned Manhattan Project, Jonathan Trade Hickman's.
Trade Wade. And Saga as well, Trade Wade.
I saw that Trade Wade. I have no interest in Manhattan Project.
Think Tank, I'm enjoying the hell out of. It was originally a 4-issue limited series, but we've had a limited series plus a one-shot, so I'm expecting a regular series real soon. Freelancers from Boom Studios. I'm enjoying the hell out of that one. No real story or anything. If you like the occasional issues of Teenage Ninja Turtles type ninjas fighting bounty hunters, that's a book for you. Invincible and Invincible, Robert Kirkman, of course. Anything Kirkman does is just awesome. Thief of Thieves and Invincible I'm collecting. There is just so much coming from... Oh, how could I forget? Chew, my favorite book. How can you not love a title that has cannibalism detectives every issue? This is just great stuff.
I love Chew, but I trade weight on it as well.
Stumptown. If you like detective noir tales, really, really some interesting stuff going on there.
Is it Brubaker or is it?
I don't know. You know what? I want to say Rucka, but I have to actually look. Rucka, yeah. Greg Rucka.
Any other digital books that you guys are getting that weren't from DC?
I'm getting two or three of the Monkey Brain ones. Mm-hmm. High Crimes, second issue just came out this week. I really like that. It's about two people who collect bodies of people that have died on Mount Everest and then charge to return the bodies to the family.
That's cool.
It's a neat concept. And then in the first issue, they collect a body that they really should have left where it was. So that's a fun one. It's an action story. And Masks and Mobsters I really like. Edison Rex, I tried the first couple. It's kind of sitting there. I need to catch up on it before I decide whether I'm going to keep getting more issues of it. But I like some of the stuff they're doing there at Monkey Brain.
Ditto for me, actually. I fell off with Edison Rex, but Masks and Mobsters and High Crimes is the top of the list every week.
How about you, Brian? I don't get anything that's digital only that I can think of, other than Injustice myself.
No, I completely forget half the time about the digital only. It's, you know, it's just I for me now it's become so odd. At the beginning of us podcasting, I found myself completely going towards not big two stuff. You know, definitely towards the Image, definitely towards the smaller press. And now, because I've made such a conscious effort to try to get more into the big two, I find that I'm forgetting about the smaller press more, and I'm only reading Marvel and DC stuff. And so it's this kind of like, that's why I'm actually trying to pare back some of my big two so that I can find a happy medium and actually get on and read a good cross section.
Yes, when I look at my list here, it's like, it's 16 books, I think, that are my regular books, and then, of course, whatever I read for the podcast. Plus, then there's a few trades that I read or a few older series that I have kicking around that I read or this, like, I want to pull out again. But, I mean, I'd say about 60, 70% of these I'm reading because we read the number one or an issue for review, like the Valiants, you know, or, you know, Green Arrow. Why am I not? Because we read that for the, you know, or Peter Pan's or Faust. Obviously, the only reason I'm reading that is because we tried it the first time, and then I stuck with it, you know? So a lot of my books have come out of this podcast, I have to say.
I'd say the same. There's a ton of these books I never would have tried, particularly the Image stuff. because of the podcast, we were checking, we reviewed almost every Image number one that came out last year. So, you know, as I look at the list of what I collect month to month, and also the long list of what I trade weight on, there's a ton of Image on there.
And Image, new Vertigo.
And Image, they cycle the trades so fast that you can trade weight on them.
All right, well, I guess we covered everything but Marvel. So, Brett, what are you getting from Marvel?
All right, almost everything, I think. I am trying to kind of pare it back a little bit, and I think I was really interested with a lot of Marvel and the first story arcs. So now that we're starting to see the end of the first story arcs, I'm really able to, you know, make a lot of the tough decisions and say, like, you know, I'm not reading that book anymore. So a couple of them, like, I am reading the all new X-Men, which I really enjoy. And Uncanny X-Men, which I did enjoy. That's only, I think issue 2 came out of that one today. So both of those I think are really good Marvel books. I'm reading of the Avengers, I'm reading the two Hickman ones, and I read the Uncanny Avengers, but if something really doesn't happen soon, then I am going to give up on it. Just because I love the Red Skull, but I'm not really a big fan of the way Remender's writing it. And I think that his dialogue is kind of poopy. And so poopy? It's one of those... Yeah. So it's one of those...
Breath.
Yeah. It's one of those cases where if that doesn't improve and soon, then I'm not going to be there. But I will say that New Avengers is probably now my favorite Marvel book. Where Hickman's gone with that one, I just love. Like, it's fantastic stuff. Captain America, I am somewhat enjoying that, although the Captain America being on in Arnim Zola land is kind of wearing thin on me now, and so I may have to give that up. I'm waiting on the end of Daredevil End of Days. FF, I kind of gave up on. I just didn't have enough interest. Indestructible Hulk, also probably nearing the end on that one. There's just not, I just don't see enough going on for me. Iron Man, I gave up because it's dumb. Greg Land's art is just so bad. I can't do, like, this is one case where the story, even if the story was better, I would still have to give up because I just don't like Greg Land as an artist. And I just, like, every time I look at Tony Stark and his stupid Stephen Baldwin face, I'm like, go to hell.
That's because you're an atheist and Stephen Baldwin's so religious.
he's a religious nut job, yeah. Spider-Man, Superior Spider-Man, Avenging Spider-Man, I really like those books still. And so I'm definitely on those ones for the long haul. I finished through issue 5 of Thor, and I can't do any more. I am totally done with that book. That's another perfect example of, like, okay, we've got the 5-issue story arc at the beginning. So, at the end of issue 5, well, that'll be to be continued in issue 6. Shut up. I'm done. And then the last one that I'll bring up, like, the Deadpool Illustrated is... It's interesting, and I might be back for that one, but
number
I will officially, yeah,
yeah, I was will also, officially, I'm like, get it.
Yeah, it's a tough call for me, but I am officially sold on Thunderbolts. It's probably my number 2 favorite Marvel book right now.
Jihad!
it's just so damn funny. It's just, I, like, this is one case where Deadpool is written so well that I actually laugh when Deadpool arrives on the scene, and I'm like, this book is good.
For those of you who don't understand, for those of you who maybe missed an episode or this is your first one, Chris was prepared to hate Thunderbolts well before it came out. He was so mad about the change. Then it came out, and he felt every bit as bad as he expected. And the fact that somebody else would possibly read it like Brett is just... You should see his face. It's all red. It's like, emotionally, he's breathing heavy, he's sweating over. He's like, he can't understand this. It's like hearing the Black Plague is back to him. This guy's.
In fact, I'm gonna go one step further. I have read 90% of the original Thunderbolts books as well, and I will honestly say that I prefer this book to any of those.
Yeah! Wow! Oh, you're just killing him because he was such a huge fan of Thunderbolts. Oh, anyways, well, Chris will get his chance, but I just want to say this, Brett. What I find interesting is you say something like, "I've read the first 5 issues of Thor, and that's it. It's not doing it for me." Or the first 4 issues of Hulk. If it does, something doesn't happen soon, I'm going to give up. Whereas if something doesn't happen, like you're so quick to quit on things from DC or Image or these other companies, you're if it doesn't work for you in 1 issue or maybe a half issue sometimes, certainly 2 issues, but usually even quicker, like I said, 1.5, you're off of it. Whereas you'll give, is that just because you're more familiar with the characters, have more trust with the creators, or
I think what happened, because like there are books like Uncanny X-Force, there's the X-Men Legacy book, which I gave up after 1. You know, I stopped those immediately because I just don't like them.
But there are some that you are more, if it's borderline, you won't go stick with a borderline book from DC or Image or Dark Horse. If it's borderline from Marvel, you'll go, let me give it another shot. Isn't that kind of the case? Why is that?
Well, in those cases, I really like the first issue. Like the first issue gave it some leeway. And then, frankly, I think I got to a point where if you collect 2 or 3, once you get to like issue 3, and it says it's a 5-issue story arc, then it's kind of like, okay, fine, I'll read the rest. You know, I knew by issue 2 which way Thor was trending. By issue 3, I knew which way Iron Man was trending. I knew that they were trending down.
And if you're reading 3 Avengers books, you might be a little bit more hesitant to drop Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You just kind of do it. But because honestly, like I'm just questioning, like for me, I'm questioning Rick Remender's stuff right now. It's just not working from that perspective for me. And I think that, and part of it, you know, I am a Marvel fan. And I think that for me, like when I go into these books, I have really enjoyed a lot of the Marvel now. But as I always question, as I always reserve that right, you know, it's one of those cases where, sure, I'm big on it right now, but we're going to see in 6 months the fallout. You know, where am I going to be? I might only be collecting 4 books.
You know, I've got Punisher Warzone as one of my books, and that wraps up today, the 5th issue, and that's been excellent. And I realize I'm probably going to have to see what Rucka did with the rest of them. I kind of don't want to go back, but I'm probably going to have to. But, I mean, I got 5 Marvel books. I got 2 from DC. You know, I mean, everything from Valiant, but that's a total of, 5 books, you know. And then Marvel is a big portion of what I'm reading right now. Almost a third, actually. You know, if I had 5 books today and 16 books monthly on my pull list. So, I mean, Indestructible Hulk, for me, it really picked up in issue 3. Issue 4, not quite as good. But I see a lot of subplots now that he's laying the groundwork for that I'm going to get paid off in issue 8, in issue 12, in issue 20. Like, I see a lot of stuff being set up by Wade, and that's kind of what I trust about Wade. So I'm enjoying Indestructible Hulk. You know, I already mentioned Punisher Warzone and how good that was. You know, I'm looking at the other ones are ones that I can't believe I'm reading. Like Avengers Arena, I didn't like the first issue that much, but I stuck with it. I have there's very few of these characters other than Darkhawk that I have really any, like, knowledge of or background with or any connection to. But I just think it's really well-written character studies.
And I so forgot I, about though, that one, actually. Although, again, for me, that's another one that... that
trying to trade waiting?
No, I'm bored. I've read through 4 issues, and nothing's happened. To me, nothing's happened.
No, nothing happens. I agree. Totally
They're
nothing
killing
happens.
Killing characters every issue. How can that be nothing?
But nothing does happen. It's like nothing, no action, no sequences. It's just at the end, all of a sudden, somebody's dead. But I like it, Brett, because for me, it's whether or not you're into the character studies of the characters and getting to know them and exploring the characters, and I really, really love that. And they're fresh to me. These are fresh characters, and it's a different approach. And I don't know. I went into it thinking it was a miniseries. That's why I started reading it, and then I found out on this podcast that it was actually an ongoing, which kind of surprised me. But I really like Avengers Arena. but it's not something you would have ever thought. Like I say, it could be an independent book to me. That because I'm so unfamiliar with the characters and the style and everything, but and their histories. But you know what else? The other two are ones that I never could have pictured. But I can't wait every time for Superior Spider-Man. You know, I mean, it's not that it's that good, but it's that much fun. It's not like I'm like, oh, that's excellent. It's like, that was great fun. And I have fun every single time. And I really didn't think I'd be sticking with this. I was like, oh, that's good. I didn't mind what they're doing with Spider-Man. I didn't really care to kill out Peter Parker. I knew it wasn't real. And then it's like, I just kind of stick with it. And, you know, every time I pick it up, it's like, you know what? That's out. I got to get that. I got to read that. It's fun. And Avenging, I think, is really well written. So the two Spider-Man books there, Avenging and Superior, I like the fun of one and the really high quality other. And I like the fresh Doc Ock. I'm enjoying it. It's good stuff to me. Keith, Marvel.
What, it was interesting putting together the list. I'm certainly getting more Marvel right now than I've been getting in a long time. And it's very different Marvel than I have been getting. I mean, I was getting a few of the X-books for about a year or so. I was really trying to get back into the X-Men books after Schism. But what I've discovered when I made the list of what I'm getting, what I'm really liking for Marvel, is that if you made a map of what books were the most core to the Avengers and then just mapped out which ones got to the edge, I would be all of the books that are at the edge. The less involvement that the comic has with the Avengers, the more likely I am to purchase it. So I am getting Thunderbolts, which is hilarious. The bit at the end of number four, with near the end of number four, where the Punisher strapped a claymore to his chest. That was brilliant. Oh God, that was awesome.
Well, and Deadpool, when he said, you know, Punisher's going to shoot him in the head, right?
Oh my God, that killed me. Deadpool says on page two of like number three, I think it is.
Three, yeah.
He sees a character. He's like, Punisher's just going to shoot him in the head as soon as he sees him. And then it gets to the second last page. Punisher shoots him in the head as soon as he sees him.
Told you so.
So and then Deadpool, the last page is just Deadpool going, I told you so.
Oh, you guys are killing him. It's awesome. I'm the kind of gentler, Mo.
Avengers Arena, I am getting. Captain America, I'm really liking because it has nothing to do with the rest of the book. Actually, I will probably drop that book when he makes it back to his own universe and it starts tying into Avengers again. I'm really liking just a Cap story that is a Cap story. I think it's really getting to that. I was talking to Longbox Graveyard about this. Of course, it'll be 20 more years before Longbox will read these things. He was talking about Kirby's return to Captain America in the 70s when he came back for about a year, and it was all Arnim Zola stuff. And when I was looking at it, that's what this book is. This book is a tie to that second Kirby, that last Kirby run of Captain America. I'm getting All New X-Men and Uncanny X-Men. I have dropped Uncanny Avengers as of the last issue, partly because I didn't like the story. I did like the story when it was Legends 25 years ago. It is exactly the same story as Legends.
It totally is. That's killing me as well.
And that's I can't keep reading it because it's hitting all of the same notes that story did.
And John Byrne wrote it better.
Yeah, he really did.
So that means FF, he didn't write it recently.
No, 25 years.
FF so is, recently FF's he wouldn't have wrote it better.
FF is on the bubble. The newest issue was, I wasn't even sure it got all the pages, to be honest. It was so disjointed. There was an error in the art that just bugged me through the whole issue. All of the characters have a number on their chest. And Alex Power has number 7, and then after like page 3, some other character has number 7 for the entire rest of the issue. A Superior and Avenging, which are read them. I say it's 60% quality, 40% someone's going to spoil it for me, because there are so many twists in Superior Spider-Man that I've got to read it as soon as it's available. And that my arch nemesis, after all the hassling she has given me, that Jessica has given me, Charmin Red on Twitter, I am reading Captain Marvel every month now. And ironically grabbing it just after my pal Matt dropped it, because he didn't like the new artist. But I am getting Captain Marvel over there.
Chris, how about you?
All right. Marvel, Avenging Spider-Man, Superior Spider-Man, Winter Soldier, Fantastic Four, FF. It should be noted I am only collecting Fantastic Four because I read FF every month and then wonder what I might have missed in the Fantastic Four because...
Fraction is
writing
nothing. I only read issues one, and I told you that at issue one. You didn't have to read one because it wouldn't be related. And apparently, I'm right. You're sitting here as you're saying it. I'm going nothing. I'm miming silently. Nothing. I haven't read them, and I know that.
Yeah. No. I know. I just want that book to be good, and it's not. What can I say?
But every month you give him $4 betting that this is the time it turns around.
That fraction is what you can say.
We're going to turn it around. Yeah. No, I never said it was a smart thing to do. I'm just saying I'm doing it. Dark Avengers. Avengers Arena, also one of my favorite books. New Avengers. Avengers, I think I named them all.
Not Thunderbolts?
No, not Thunderbolts. Punisher, Warzone, but that's over now, thick one.
But Dark Avengers is Thunderbolts, your old Thunderbolts, essentially. And you were bitching about that, too, and now you're reading it.
Well, I've always been reading it. I haven't quit it yet. It's on the bubble, though, because it starts the Dark Avengers. It does not start the Thunderbolts.
When we started this thing, Chris was talking about, he's like, I said I have about 16, 17 books, and Chris goes, yeah, I think I have 18. I think you just listed 18 just for Marvel. What?
Wasn't that many. I will mention Extreme X-Men, which is Greg Pak. I'm enjoying that one. So he is at Marvel as well. And I just checked
continuing, though?
I've checked the latest issue, and he doesn't seem to be leaving.
I believe that book's getting canceled, though.
It is, yeah.
I hadn't heard.
That's why he's leaving. He's pissed about that.
Of course, it's the book that Chris collects. They're going to cancel it immediately. Oh, as well as Indestructible Hulk. Although I have to say, I'm not loving it as much as Mo is. Hmm.
All right, I guess that's it. That's what we get. All right, let's move on to reviews. We're only going to do two here because we kind of have been reviewing books the whole time, but we're going to do our reviews because, Keith, we are saving you.
Here I come to save the day.
From Bad Comics.
Damn straight. Let's just talk a couple books. Chris, why don't you open it up? Let's talk about, Five Weapons from Image Comics. This is created, written, illustrated, and lettered by Jimmy Robinson about a school for assassins, where a private school for assassins, a kid assassin, or parents can send their kids if they want them to become assassins, and a kid who's there who's smarter than everybody else and doesn't want to take on a weapon, but he may not be everything he appears to be because he has apparently from a dangerous background, but... It may not all be as it appears. Chris, tell us a little bit about this story and what you thought.
This book was stuck in my head all afternoon. I loved it. I love stories where characters have a limitation that they're forced to think their way around. They have to be smarter than their opponents at all times, and that's the case in this book. Exciting. I really felt for the character. Reminded me of some John Constantine's, actually, strangely enough, although the style is completely different. Really can't wait for the next issue. This was the book of the week for me. I can honestly say, off the strength of the first book, I'm getting the whole series.
Brett, what do you think of it?
Well, I'm a really big fan of Harry Potter. And I think that this is Harry Potter in America with weapons. Basically, it's the, you know, it's the five houses and that kind of thing. Honestly, I really like the book. It caught me right off the bat, and sure it rings a little bit towards Harry Potter, but I actually like Jimmy Robinson's other work, Bomb Queen. I thought that was also a ton of fun and crazy. So to me, this one could, if it goes down that crazy kind of path too, then I will also be super happy. But it's only five issues, so I'm totally down.
Keith,
I was back and forth on this book. It drew me in though. The first few pages, it didn't really have me. But as I kind of got to know this character, and his overall attitude toward the school he's in, you know, when he starts piecing things together of you know, random things people say, understanding relationships between characters, I think I am in for at least the second issue. I'll try, and it is only five, so not a giant investment to get the whole thing, but I was intrigued by the lead character more than I was the premise.
Well, you know what? I agree. I wasn't that into it at first. Like, it's a little clunky. It feels a little bit like, to me, like a very talented storyteller who's just kind of still feeling his way around the comic book medium and getting to know it. And so it's a little clunky in the dialogue, the characterizations, and the page setup and layouts and everything. I think it's a little clunky. But I agree, Keith. Once he starts seeing behind the mind of the lead character a little more, it got into me, and I really started getting into it. And I had some questions about why he behaved the way he did, and then it all made sense in the last few pages. And there was a swerve that was really, really good, and then another swerve right at the end. And then it wraps up, and I was just like, I was ready to turn the next page. I'm like, okay, what happens next? Okay, what? And then I'm like, no, don't end now. I got to know. I need to know how he handles this situation. Like, how is he get out of this? And I was like, oh, so pissed. And like, I can't wait for the next one. Like, I didn't want this to end. So it got better to me as it went on. I enjoyed this quite a bit.
It's pretty classic storytelling, you know, in that regard.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Yeah. So let's move on to Guardians of the Galaxy Point One. Of course, written by Brian Michael Bendis and art by Steve McNiven. Brett, what do you think of that?
I wasn't sure where to go with it for a bit. You know, it seemed really standard off the top, and I guess the thing is, it seems really standard to me throughout the whole thing. But there is just an element of me that enjoyed it. I feel like I will enjoy the book because, as a general rule, I like it. Like the beginnings of Brian Michael Bendis' work. I don't necessarily like the ends, but I sure do like the beginning. So I think that I will probably continue reading it, but I'm not 100% sure that I'll stay on it for a great length of time.
Oh God, Brett, you just summed up Bendis to me, and I didn't even know that's how I felt. I like the beginnings. I don't always like the ends. Chris?
Yeah, this is white bread storytelling at its best, I think. It's not a bad comic book. It's beautifully drawn, and I think it's competently written. But I've read this story. I've read Bendis write this story before. If you're going to introduce reintroduce a character like Star-Lord, why don't we throw some meat in there? There's nothing. Yeah, I'll collect Guardians of the Galaxy, but, I mean, if they were continuing on to a Star-Lord comic book, I wouldn't read it.
Keith.
I surprised myself with how much I enjoyed this book. To the point, I'm not a giant Brian Michael Bendis fan. I am liking what he's doing in X-Men. But I enjoyed it so much that I did flip back to the beginning to make sure that he wrote and not co-wrote it. I was that surprised by how much I liked the story. I enjoyed creating this character from his 10-year-old perspective, who the core of this character is. you know, I read The Origin of Star-Lord 20 years ago. I don't really remember it. I think he's reinvented it without necessarily, you know, replacing everything that came before. Just informing the character in a different way. The art is beautiful. It's a really, really good looking book. So I'm intrigued. I'm gonna keep trying this book. I was wondering why they would start with a point one. I think after having read this, we would have been furious if we read this story as number one. So this is one of those cases that a zero or a point one is exactly what this book should have been called. So,
and a great place for it. It's before the book comes out, so you're okay to do this because we could still review issue one, and it would be totally reasonable because it will start out with as the Guardians of the Galaxy.
It is a point one. It's not a zero.
Yeah,
you would expect something different from zero issue, and this didn't give me what a zero issue is, and I don't mind that either. It's a point. It really is a point one. Like I agree with you, Keith. I went into this going, it probably isn't gonna be that good. I mean, sure, it has Steve McNiven art, and so you know it's going to be some of the best art that you'll ever get on the planet because he's that damn good, and that guy's freaking amazing. But, yeah, I mean, I had the same attitude. This probably won't be that good. Boy, I liked it quite a bit, too. I mean, Chris, you called it, white bread, and there was something else you said about it. I can't remember what it was. I don't get that. I mean, again, you have something. It's like not even who cares if you've read it before, if I'm reading it well done. Like, I can read stuff I've read before as long as it's well done. In fact, I don't mind stories that don't shock me or aren't something new. In fact, I kind of like knowing where something's going to go and what it is if it's really well done and it's the right thing to do. And that's what I thought about this. I thought, hey, that's a good storyline. I'm not overly familiar with Star-Lord. I mean, it's his early childhood, though I wouldn't really call it necessarily his origin because a lot of that they didn't tell, the kind of the 10 to 20 years or whatever, the gap in between. So it just kind of gives me just kind of a beginning on the character, and it was character-driven, and it was about family and loss and drama and things that I really like, and I don't know, good stuff for me. Good stuff for me. Guardians of the Galaxy blew me away.
That there was no swerve. Not that everything has to have a swerve, but
that's
for a character a character with this much history, I expect something new.
I don't.
And there was nothing.
As long as it's really well told, really good dialogue, really good art, and it's the right thing to do for the character, to me that's all I need. I don't need
Yet every time we have a Seven Samurai story, you complain.
Why? No, I don't. When did we have one?
Yeah, you do.
Well, number one, when did we
five
have one?
Five podcasts ago? I forget what we were talking. We were talking about Team 7.
Yeah, but Team 7 was no good.
Well, that's true, but you're complaining about the story structure.
Yeah.
How many times you never wanted to read? You said you never wanted to read one of those again.
Yeah.
I understand again, talking never good. Wanting to read a Team 7 book.
That's exactly it, though. I can watch. I can watch Seven Samurai. I can watch Magnificent Seven. I can watch Last Man Standing, which is kind of the same, which is more Yojimbo, I realize. But I can watch all these things as long as it's well done. What's that?
Bugs Life is 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. It is. It really is. I can watch it as long. Those are all well done. That's the difference. So, yeah, I said I never want to see that again. But, you know, what if it's a good storyline? I don't even think about the fact that it's not original because it's well done. And that's what I think about this book. So.
And I don't think you'd want to swerve a point one anyways.
No, I think just give me a really good, give me good characterization, that a character I can care about. I care more about who Star-Lord is, this character, and his journey, and his who he is, why he thinks the way he is, what he fights for, what he represents, what he hates, what he loves, what he fears. I know more about that, and I care more about him after this issue than I did before it started.
We should table this. We should table this and actually we view number one as well, just because I think it'll be a different experience.
Yes, absolutely, yeah, for sure. I agree.
It's a Bendis book. Well, it'll be out Friday, right?
Yeah.
It's probably out now. It probably came out a half hour ago. All right, Brett, why don't you do your shout-outs and we'll get out of here.
All right. Well, I am Brett_WeTalk on Twitter, Brett with two T's. When this podcast goes up, my second monthly February installment of Access All Ages will be going up on Comicosity, so everybody should read that. That's just the way it is. Otherwise, I'm reading a lot of comics.
All right. Chris, it's your turn.
I'm Chris underscore We Talk. I'm running a little behind on everything, so I got nothing to promote. Keith.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter, Cub Reporter K. And I want to thank Chris and our pal Comic Canuck, because I just yesterday and this morning read The 12 by Joe Straczynski and really enjoyed it. It was a good mystery story. I dug that. Thank you for recommending that.
Okay, and I am Mo. Just for everybody out there, I'm just going to tell you again, for me, it's Exo, Manivore, Bloodshot, Harbinger, Shadow Man, Archer and Armstrong, Star Wars, Mind Management, Green Arrow, Injustice, Bedlam, Punisher Warzone, Superior Spider-Man, Avenging Spider-Man, Avengers Arena, Indestructible Hulk, and Peter Panzerfaust. That, listening to that list, you probably get an idea of who I am right now, this day and age. So those are my books. We're going to thank our friends over at the Comic Podcast Network. We're going to tell you, if you want to talk to us, you want to give us love, you want to give us hate, you want to give us opinions, disagreements, anything you want to do, comics@wetalkpodcast.com is our email handle. You can do that. Send us questions or anything else. comics@wetalkpodcast. I am Mo, M-O underscore WeTalk. No E on my name on Twitter. Thanks very much again to the two classiest men in comics, Matt Centauri Griffith. Did I get it right? You get it right?
You got it right.
Woo-hoo! Matt, I had it right in front of me. I won't lie to you. I wrote it down. Matt Centauri Griffith and Aaron Long of Comicosity. And I guess we're OUT.